It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about ice cover on Wisconsin lakes amid climate change. The National Weather Service's Great Lakes Ice Outlook says the Arctic blast underway has resulted in ice starting to form on the Great Lakes. Call in with a question. Share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Steve Vavras is Wisconsin State Climatologist and a senior scientist at the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me again.
So the National Weather Service report near record high temperatures in our state in December, but here we are in the midst of this brutal cold snap. Have most Wisconsin lakes frozen over?
Yes, by now they have. It was a sudden deep freeze. Things were looking very open, at least in many parts of the state, until last week. And now with this bitter air mass, we've kind of changed the script quickly. And all of the lakes in Wisconsin are now frozen.
So there's this extensive and rich history on ice on Madison's Lake Mendota that dates back the record to 1855. When does Lake Mendota in particular usually freeze?
Well, that's a good question. If you look at the long-term normal going back to the 1850s, the average date is around the winter solstice, around December 20th, 21st. But the new normal in the warmer climate is much later than that. And we've had plenty of January freeze-ups in recent years.
How indicative is Lake Mendota of what happens on other lakes in the state? Is Lake Mendota's records more broadly applicable?
It's a pretty good record. We are limited by the fact that Lake Mendota is in the southern part of Wisconsin, so it doesn't represent the climate everywhere. But one of the big advantages of Mendota, unlike lakes elsewhere in the state, is that we have this really long and continuous record of ice formation and ice melt. Other lakes in the state, they may have spotty records or they may not have records at all. And so this is one of the really most unusual kinds of climate records we have, a 170-year-long continuous record, which is unusual not just for the state, but for the whole country and really for the whole world.
And so the records for other lakes, for thousands of other lakes in Wisconsin, aren't nearly as extensive and accurate?
That's right. So you might have some spotty records for many years. You might have a really dedicated observer who's recording when the lake freezes and when it thaws. But then that person might move, they might die, somebody else might not pick up the records. And so what's annoying if you're a climatologist is having gaps in the record where you have 10, 20 years where you have no information. And so that's one of the benefits not only of Lake Mendota in Madison, but also Lake Monona and smaller Lake Wingra. So even though it may seem like we have a Madison bias, it's mostly just because the records are so rich around there.
Does that have to do with the university there and the extensiveness of limnology through generations?
Exactly. People often say Lake Mendota is the most studied lake in the world.
Yes.
This is one more example of that. And in addition, there used to be a real economic value or importance to lake ice because people used to harvest it for ice boxes. And the Madison lakes were considered some of the best ice around, and it would be shipped in rail cars to different parts of the country. And so, you know, those times are long gone, but that's another reason why careful ice records were important back in the day.
Has Lake Mendota ever remained unfrozen during a winter?
It has not. That's one of the interesting things about our long climate record. Back in the winter, very warm winter of 2001-2002, it was open all of February, which was incredible. But then we had a late freeze in early March, and it froze for 2 or 3 weeks before finally melting for good. But that's the closest we've come to an ice-free winter.
When do scientists consider a lake to be frozen? How do you define that freeze date?
It's difficult, and this is another one of the reasons why it's hard to compare ice records from one lake to another. One observer might say, well, if it's 50% or more ice cover, judging by eye, we'll call it closed. Other people might be more strict. Other people might be more loose. For lakes Wingra and Monona, we try to use a 50% threshold for determining ice freeze up. But for Mendota, we have a different criterion, and that is that we consider it frozen when we think a boat would not be able to go from Picnic Point over to either Maple Bluff or Governor's Island because there's too much ice. So if that transect is frozen over, we consider Lake Mendota to be ice covered.
And then thaw dates, do you have a similar type of setup?
It is a similar type of setup, although we don't actually go out on a boat to determine it. But the point is that we're trying to maintain the same methodology that we think people used 100, 150 years ago. If somebody gave the state climatology office a fancy drone where we could fly over the lake and get a really good determination of the melt-off or freeze-up, that would be more accurate. But then we wouldn't be able to be consistent with the older records.
Oh, I see. So why is ice important to lakes in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Depending on the size of the lake, it can affect lake effect snow. For example, Buffalo just got hammered with a big snowstorm last weekend, and they're about to get hit with another one today. And that's directly a result of there not being much ice on Lake Erie. And so if you have one of the Great Lakes that's open, that produces a lake effect snow machine when conditions are right. But for smaller lakes in Wisconsin, say inland lakes, lake ice is really important for recreation. People love to skate and ice fish. It's important for the economy because so much of Wisconsin, especially northern Wisconsin, depends on winter tourism. A lot of that involves ice fishing, for example, even community festivals, ice sculpting and so forth. And there's important ecological effects of ice cover. It affects the thermal stratification or the temperature changes of the lake with depth. And it also affects oxygen input into the lakes and also competition among different fish types, warm-loving fish and cold type of fish. So it has all sorts of ramifications.
Steve Vavaris is Wisconsin State Climatologist and our guide to what affects ice cover on Wisconsin lakes and the historical record. Call in with a question or comments at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists track ice cover on Wisconsin lakes, helping to determine climate patterns, lake water levels, and the larger ecological effects. And Wisconsin State Climatologist Steve Vavaris fields your questions about lake ice amid a warming planet. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Steve, you talk about lake effect snow, the impacts on Buffalo, New York, and Lake Erie there in the mix. Closer to home, let's talk about the ice cover on the Great Lakes. Is there substantial ice on Lake Michigan now?
The Great Lakes is also very slow to form ice this year. Right now, the Great Lakes basin-wide only have about 5% ice area, ice-covered area, compared to 20% on average for this date. And there was a big news story on New Year's Day saying that over the last 50 years of record keeping, there was less than 0.5% of ice cover on the Great Lakes, which was a record low. Typically, there would be about 9% by then. So just like in Wisconsin, the Great Lakes as a whole has been very slow to form ice this winter.
What might be happening there?
Well, again, it's the warmth. Statewide, we were the warmest December on record in Wisconsin, about 15 degrees warmer than normal. And that was true not only here, but over the upper Midwest as well. And so, it's, you know, really ice formation depends on pretty much just two variables, one being air temperature and the other being lake depth. A shallow lake freezes sooner. Deep lakes take longer, and of course, the Great Lakes are much deeper than most of our Wisconsin lakes, especially Lake Superior.
Yeah, how about Lake Superior? Being so cold as it is, what are the impacts of ice cover there?
One of the impacts for Lake Superior, as our northern listeners know, is lake effect snow. And because Lake Superior is so deep, even though it's probably the coldest climate among the Great Lakes, it often is the last to freeze or the smallest area to freeze during a cold winter. And so as long as you have a lot of open water and we get Arctic air masses coming down as we have in the past week, that's a great setup for lake effect snow. The warm lake waters transfer their moisture into the atmosphere, and then it turns into snow and sometimes heavy snow downstream.
And snow is such a significant insulator as well. So what effect does snow have on lakes and ice cover?
Yeah, snow complicates ice cover. So it can act as an insulator on ice, just like it acts as an insulator on land. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to get ice to grow quickly, the best conditions are to have ice form when there's no snow around and let it thicken on its own, not having an insulating layer of snow on top of it. So in terms of the freeze-up we just had in Madison recently, it's fortunate if we want to get some thick ice that the snow storms that we had last week preceded the ice formation, because right now there's little, if any, snow cover on the initial ice formation, and that allows the ice to grow as quickly as possible right now during this cold snap.
So thick ice, how does one check the thickness of lake ice?
Well, carefully.
Yes.
Always you have to be careful going out on lakes. But it's typically done with an auger, and you can just drill down and simply measure it. Ice anglers are very familiar with doing this. And so it's very low tech, but it's also very accurate. And there are models that can be used to estimate ice thickness that are based mainly on the overlying air temperature over time. But there's no substitute for actually going out in the field and going out and getting an ice measurement to know how thick the ice is at your location.
I would imagine that the shallower shoreline would freeze first. Is that right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's fortunate, because that's typically where you want to go if you're ice fishing, rather than going way out into the lake. So that is a good thing. And it also is good that thin ice grows quicker. So the thinner the ice is, the faster it can grow at a given air temperature. And so that's right. Why the ice right now should be thickening very quickly as we get this cold snap upon ice formation. And generally, it's considered 4 inches of ice thickness is safe to walk on. Before you get to 4 inches, you better be very careful or just stay off it at all.
As you look at the Great Lakes in comparison to smaller inland lakes we have in Wisconsin, does ice cover on smaller inland lakes, does that have any effect on the weather or on lake effect?
Not really. You need
okay.
a bigger lake, like the size of a Great Lake, to have an impact on lake effect snow. You know, if you live right near one of the Wisconsin inland lakes, especially a larger one, you might get some extra ice fog on a cold winter morning, you know, local effects of cloudiness, but not enough to actually produce lake effect snowfall. Occasionally, you get some strange phenomena, like around Lake Mendota. It's been documented that you can get some ice quakes. They're called kind of like earthquakes mm-hmm. when there's convergence of the ice in just the right way during the winter, and it can actually shake the ground. But that's a rare occurrence, and it's very localized.
Oh, that's fascinating. As we talk about lake ice, Steve Vavras is a Wisconsin State climatologist. Join in questions and thoughts, 800-642-1234. Steve, will winters without frozen lakes or short periods of frozen lakes become more common in Wisconsin due to climate change?
I think they will. We've seen a pronounced change in the winter climate over the last 25 years. It's almost like a regime shift for generally warmer winters in Wisconsin. And we have had some exceptions within there, but generally the winters have been considerably warmer than in the years prior to 1998. And that's reflected in the Madison ice records for Lake Mendota, with later freeze-ups and earlier thaws. And it's also interesting because Lake Geneva, nearby, far southeast Wisconsin, has pretty good ice records as well. And we know that it has remained unfrozen during 4 winters this century, so since 2000. And that is really significant in terms of a climate change signal to actually remain unfrozen for the entire winter. And I know, you know, if you have a lake or a winter ice festival or snow festival around Lake Geneva like they have, that's not really great news.
Considering the climate is in an El Nino cycle, did that cause a delay in lakes freezing this year, or is this due strictly to climate change?
It's a good question. It's really hard to determine how much of a role El Nino has played this winter. When we have strong El Ninos, as we have this winter, we often do have milder winters, but there have been exceptions too. And when we look at some of the latest ice freezes on record for Mendota, back 2007, 1932, even 2002, those were either very weak El Nino winters or not El Ninos at all. So El Nino is not the only show in town. There are all sorts of other weather factors that affect our winter climate here.
In our last seconds together, you know, it's cold, very cold now, but we're looking at a significant temperature shift to the high 30s next week. How do frequent temperature swings affect lake ice cover?
Well, the ice cover has some memory, so even when it warms up next week, it's still going to be we're still going to have some ice that thickened up during this cold snap. So it doesn't have an immediate effect as much as one might think. And so hopefully we can thicken up the ice this week. That would get a reinforcing shot of Arctic air coming down on Friday so that it can be still pretty strong and thick to survive next week's warm up.
Okay, so ice cover having a bit of a muscle memory there, some durability.
Right.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Steve Vavaris is Wisconsin State climatologist and a senior scientist at the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. Steve Vavaris also co-directs the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.